And welcome to Sapphic Survival Guide, where we are queer to answer your questions. I'm Cheyenne.
And I'm Gina.
Class is now in session. We have another unanswered questions episode for you. We got some longer questions that didn't like nicely fit into certain topics that we had in the past, or we had like a bunch of shorter unanswered questions. So we kind of lumped these ones in together. So we're going to answer these for you today. And going into the questions, one of the first ones we got was, how do I navigate the confusion and frustration of not knowing if I like boys or girls or both or neither? I feel like I'm incapable of falling in love with anyone, but I don't think I'm asexual.
I feel like there is this confusion when you're not all the way one way or the other because you're kind of like, oh, well, this doesn't feel wrong and this doesn't feel wrong and like that doesn't feel wrong. So I would say like that confusion and frustration is somewhere that you kind of have to like learn to live in and not be confused or frustrated by it, but just knowing that like maybe you can like both or neither or like it could just be dependent on the person. It sounds like you're more just like sexually fluid, and maybe that's in the romantic sense and the sexuality sense. I feel like you can be attracted to people and still be like considered asexual. Like you might not be, or aromantic, like you might not be interested in pursuing certain things with certain people. I feel like it's just you're allowed to be kind of fluid in that way. And so you don't have to be confused or frustrated by it, but I think it's okay to like sit in a place of not knowing because sometimes it is just depending on the person. And I don't believe in like making these like big proclamations to then just later in life end up like meeting somebody who undoes it all. You know, like that's kind of where I sit. And that's why like I'll say like, oh, I'm a lesbian, this and that, and whatever. But like part of the reason I don't feel comfortable using the term lesbian is because I'm like, no, but I could have feelings for all different kinds of people. And that's why I just like saying I'm gay or I'm queer or whatever, because it's like, well, who knows what's going to happen? And I feel like that's an okay place to just be in.
Yeah, and I also kind of get the vibe that this person is younger, just based off of them saying that they feel incapable, and then also referring to people as like boys and girls and not necessarily men and women. And sometimes older people do that too, I suppose, but I think it's like scarier when you're younger to never have had like any like romantic connections with someone, because it's like, oh, is there something wrong with me? And am I different? Am I incapable of being in love? Am I c incapable of being loved? Like, I feel like there's so much more pressure on it when you haven't had those experiences, because you don't know what that says about you or what your life might look like. And I also hesitate to say that, because I think a lot of the time people are like, oh, you're too young to know, or you're too young to like, and I'm not saying that at all, but I just think it's harder when you're younger because you have less experience, you have fewer options, you have fewer people that you could pretend. I mean, you have a lot of people, but like maybe at your school or your university or work or whatever, but like I think when you're younger, people have less confidence in pursuing other people and knowing and picking up on vibes, and it's a little bit more difficult and it's scarier. And I think giving it time will help figure all of that out. Like, you probably will eventually date someone or have sexual experiences, and maybe you'll like it, maybe you won't. Maybe you'll like it with some people, maybe you won't. Like, I think just like living life, and not like the only way to navigate it is to go through it. There's no figuring it out without either going through it or realizing you don't want to go through it and like not go, you know what I mean? Like, there's the only way out is through. So I think that's the best way to navigate that confusion and frustration.
I agree. And this question is kind of similar, I would say. Somebody asked, how can I tell if I truly like girls? Having never experienced anything with a girl, I doubt myself sometimes because I thought I liked men for 19 years, and now I'm not sure I do. So what if it's the same with girls? So my first thing is like, if you're wondering, do I like girls? You probably like girls at least a little bit. But it's not the same with girls because of compet. Like society has conditioned you, whether you realize it or not, to think that liking men is the default. And so if you thought you liked men for 19 years, girl, I thought it was a lot longer, first of all. Like I spent a lot more time in that space and I wish it was only 19 years. I think that we're just, as a society, we're like told this is what you like. And so it's not the same. Like it is a different thing when you're looking at what's not heteronormativity. You know what I mean?
Right. And if you decide to like date women, have sexual experiences with them, whatever, it's okay to later be like, that wasn't for me, or that wasn't necessarily exactly what I wanted. And just like how that's okay with if you used to date men and you decide to go date women. I think as long as you're not treating people as like a phase or like an experiment, and you are, just kind of exploring and living your life and really treating people with genuine respect, I don't think there's anything wrong with having been with women and then quote unquote going back to men, or because I don't think it's going back to a man, it's choosing to
So
be
who you
with,
date next? Yeah.
whoever. So I think it's okay if you need to take some time to explore that. Just don't make the people you're exploring that with feel like you're using them in any way, and it's cool.
Yeah, just like date people who are nice to you and it doesn't really matter past that
And yeah,
much.
be
Yeah.
nice to them. Just nicest all around. Be kind.
Yeah.
Okay. And then another one we got that I feel like kind of goes in line with this was finally came out as bi. However, I only have experience dating men. Recently, I've noticed I struggle a bit when it comes to relationships as I'm starting to date women, as far as who's more dominant or submissive or who takes the lead on certain things. I feel this especially as I date other femmes.
I feel like this really depends on the person. And I also think that things can ebb and flow the longer you're with somebody. So, like, I don't really think that whether somebody is a masc or a femme or however they present directly correlates to whether they are more dominant, submissive, aggressive, passive. Like, I think that anybody can be any combination of the above. And then I also think it ebbs and flows. Like, I think I spend a lot of time topping my girlfriend, but that doesn't mean that like we're not gonna try out role reversals, you know, after like a certain amount of time. And I feel like it's hard because like if you like a certain look in person, like I'm not like as into femmes, I'm more into masks. And I guess I don't really expect them to be anything in particular. Like if they're a bottom, great. If they're a top, okay, well, let's talk about that because like I'm a little more on the top side as well. But I feel like that's just kind of like dependent on the person. I don't, do you feel like you've noticed like patterns in that way?
I mean, I don't really notice patterns as much, and I feel like the people that I've encountered who do subscribe to like more like heteronormative gender roles, and that kind of thing, I don't, it doesn't usually work out with them for me because I don't really subscribe to it. And like even when I think of like cis straight couples, like I'm not seeing it's like the man is the dominant one, and like the woman never has any like dominance or control or lead. Like I don't know, I don't see that really fully modeled in the people that I'm around. Not that it doesn't exist, and not that it doesn't exist to some extent, but I just don't think it's like so black and white that like the man or the masculine one is always dominant and then the feminine person's always some, like I just don't subscribe to that way of thinking. And I think I mean I do know it exists, so I think that's partially why in my personal experiences I am the one who's more dominant and just takes the lead, because I don't have the patience to wait around for other people. I'm just gonna do it myself. And I'd rather, handle a situation rather than like sit around and wonder or wait and have nothing happen. But that's not to say like I don't like to be dominated or I don't like to be taken care of. Like I do like to be quote unquote submissive or whatever in some circumstances, but I think, it's kind of extracting yourself from that mindset, and or just saying like, I'm going to take the lead until I find someone who prefers to be take the lead, and then they can take the lead kind of thing. I don't know. I like also as someone who does date other femmes, like I know that is something that people are accustomed to, and so I think that's why I'm like a big proponent of just like do it yourself, kind of just take the lead. I mean, this person isn't that kind of person, and they want the other person to take the lead, but I feel like that's gonna lead to a lot of waiting around, and
Yeah, like make stuff
I don't know.
happen, you know?
You gotta make it happen yourself if you want anything to happen. That's my motto.
Yeah, I agree. And I also think, like, you know, you can also, what's the word? Like, experiment with how you, if you're like maybe more switchy, maybe you can like lean into certain roles with different people. I don't know. I think there's not like one rule to follow with certain type of people kind of thing. All right. This next question, I think I'm going to lean on you to answer a little more than myself. This person said, I loved the episode on hair, and I appreciate so much that you guys included a bit on 4C hair. Quick pause before I read the rest of the question. Shout out to my girlfriend because everything that we said about 4C hair, I had asked her about ahead of time. My girlfriend has 4C hair. She's gone through a lot of different periods of her life, in like how she styled it, how people have influenced her and like try to pressure her to style it versus how she wears it, going natural, not putting any sort of treatments, trying different products, blah, blah, blah. So shout out to her because all of the information that I shared was from her. Anything Cheyenne said obviously came from Cheyenne, but like anything I shared came from my girlfriend. So I wanted to put that disclaimer out here. Anyway, love the episode. Appreciate so much that you included a bit on 4C hair. I sometimes get confused slash overwhelmed with what to do with my tightly curly hair as a queer person because it seems like most common queer hairstyles, mullet, wolf cut, any type of bangs, are more suited for people with straight or wavy hair. Do you have any tips on how to combine curly hair with queer style? First of all, mullets are not for non-curly hair people. You can have a mullet with
I was
any
gonna say,
texture of
I feel
hair.
like you could definitely have a mullet. You can definitely do something that's like a faux hawk, like a curly faux hawk I've seen looks really cool. I think locks, any kind of braid. I mean, obviously I'm assuming this person isn't white. They have 4C hair.
Yeah, I would be surprised.
yeah.
If
But
you're white, maybe not the locks, but like
yeah, maybe not the maybe
if
not
that's like culturally appropriate for you.
that. But yeah, I think that is definitely very queer leaning, and you can also like dye your hair fun colors. I think that's fun. If
Like the
you
tips.
don't want hair like buzzing your hair, or like having like a fade like longer on top, I think there's a lot that can be done, and it kind of aligns with like the blacker side of the queer community versus the like white queer hairstyles, or like straighter hair, wavy hair, queer hairstyles. I don't think they necessarily are one and the same, but I think that there are ways to blacken those styles up, I guess I would
Yeah.
say.
And if you're really like, you know what, I hear you, but like a mullet isn't for me, you know, like I just like that's not what I want to do. I don't want to dye my hair, blah blah blah. What about your other body hair? Like dye your eyebrows a fun color. Grow out your armpit hair and dye that. Grow out your leg hair. That's automatically if I see like somebody who has body hair and they are not a cis het man, I'm like gay. Like obviously, we're all decentering men, and that's why we have hair. Amazing. So I feel like you can play around with that. And I've dyed my armpits, I've never dyed my eyebrows, but even like the eyebrow slit, or like there's other ways to like flag aside from just the hair that's on your head. But yeah, I definitely think a lot of the hairstyles that we mentioned or the queer tips for like wavy or straighter hair can also be applied to curly hair. It's just like a little bit of a different cut. So sometimes it's also about finding the right hairstylist, and that can take a bit, but also and can be expensive, but also can be worth it to like get the look that really makes you feel good.
Also, I have to say that any type of bangs, they could be suited to your hair. Like obviously I have like 3A, 3B hair, and I never had bangs until like the past few years, and like I feel like I love a bang now. So I mean, it might just be like finding the right kind of bang that fits your expectations, and it might not look the exact same way that someone with straighter hair, how their bangs would look. But I think, I think that might be an option for you.
Yeah. Agreed.
Okay. And then going into our last question, this person said, "So my girlfriend and I aren't exactly comfortable with telling our families about us dating because they've reacted negatively in the past, but they definitely find out either way because we still live with them. How do we tell our parents without getting grounded and our phones taken away? We also haven't seen each other in 6 years, and I really want to take her out on a date, but unless we tell our parents, then that can't happen." And then, sorry to ask another question, but what's the right age to have sex with your girlfriend? And how long should we have been together before doing it for the first time? We've been dating for 3-ish years, but we're still teenagers, so the whole timing thing is a little confusing.
Well, I think it makes sense where they're at for all of the pieces in this question. My biggest thing with still living with your parents is like weigh the risk factor because safety is a really big issue. And like if it's something is, oh, you might get grounded and have your phones taken away, maybe that's worth telling them and being able to like work through it. If it's like really a situation though where you feel like you wouldn't be safe or they're going to be like punishing you in ways that are like really because they shouldn't be punishing you obviously, but like I can't control your parents and if they're going to like react in a way that's harmful, I wouldn't tell them. I would wait till you don't live there and I would focus your plan on just like creating your little bubble that keeps you happy and getting, oh my God, I feel like New York's so loud right now, I'm sorry,
Okay.
and getting like yourself into a place that's safe where maybe you two are not long distance. Wait, did they say they were long distance? They said they haven't seen each other in 6 years. So I guess that's why I infer long distance. In any case, I guess like I'm not like trying to say you have to lie to your parents, but like, do you have to tell them? Like, can you just say you're hanging out as friends or can you like not let them know? I don't know. I guess like you have to weigh the risk factor. Before we get into the sex part, do you have thoughts on that part of the question?
Yeah, I do agree with what you're saying, and they said that they hadn't told them because they've reacted negatively in the past, but they're gonna find out either way. But then they've been dating for 3 years, so I don't know. I guess I'm a little confused about why they need to tell the parents now, and not wait until they're out of the household. Unless, like, literally just because of the date. And I don't know, it
And when you
does.
are like teenagers, though, that feels so far away. Like, even if you're 16 or
Yeah.
something, like waiting till 18 feels really
But, like,
far. So that
three
just might
years
feel.
already is like, it does sound like they are
Yeah.
long distance. And, like, is that why the date, like, they need to tell them? Like, do they need to travel somewhere? Do the parents need to, like, pay for a flight, pay for the date? Like, are we making money here? I feel like there's so much missing from that question. But just like Gina said, like there's no way that we can tell you to say this to your parents without getting your phone taken away, and getting grounded, because it sounds like your parents might have that reaction in general, and like that doesn't make that punishment correct. Like that's not. It that doesn't solve their problem necessarily, but like they're gonna do what they're gonna do, and if you are willing to sacrifice your phone for however long in order to have that out in the open, like maybe that's a good sacrifice to make. And if not, like maybe you wait to tell them until you're in a place where they can't take your things away, and not living in the house with them. I don't know. I think there's like a lot at play here, and that's what makes this such a hard question to answer, and why
Right.
we put it off until this episode.
Right. And the part that I think is easier to answer is the fact that, you know, you've been dating for 3 years, you're wanting to maybe have sex. And I don't think that there is a correct timing. And maybe that feels confusing because you're looking for like a strict formula, like, oh, after you've been dating for this amount of time or gone on this amount of dates, this is what you do. But there really isn't like a code that you can crack for that. It's really just a matter of like doing what feels right. And so if you feel ready, if it's something you both want to do, if it's something that makes you feel excited and not like nervous in a dreadful way, but nervous in like a happy, excited way, then that's like the cues I would be looking for. I don't think that there is a right amount of time or a wrong amount of time. As long as you feel good and both of you are in agreement that this is the next step for you, I don't think that you have to follow like any sort of timeline formula.
Yeah, I feel weird like saying to teenagers that like, yeah, you should have sex, because I feel gross saying that as like a 30-year-old basically. But like, we were both teenagers having sex, so like it's
Yeah.
going to happen, and like that's also something that I want to acknowledge. Like, I'm not like, I don't want to like condone that necessarily, but I'm also like, I think that these people need to have the tools to have these conversations and figure these things out, and not just like feel pressured because they've been with this person for so long.
Right.
So yeah, I agree with what you said are saying there. And I think like, if you're saying we're still teenagers, so the whole thing is confusing, like maybe having that feeling is a sign that you're not ready. If you feel like,
Sure.
maybe we are feeling too young to be doing something like this. And then also, given the fact that like you haven't seen each other in 6 years, and who knows if you are going to go on that date anytime soon, and like if kind of like you meet each other in person after being apart for 6 years, maybe you don't feel comfortable to just jump into that physical intimate thing. Like, there's really no specific timeline, and I think also the long distance can make things more complicated, especially if you don't have that kind of experience. So I think really just take it day by day and see when you feel comfortable, because there's just so many different aspects in play that it's hard to, hard to know. And but I feel like when you, hopefully when you know, and there's no pressure going on, and you're not doing it because you feel like you have to or feel like you should, and you're doing it
Yeah.
because you feel like you really want to. But there's like, just because you've been dating for 3 years and have known each other for six, like that doesn't mean
Right.
anything. You have your whole lives ahead of you to do that. So just do it when you actually feel comfortable with it.
Yeah, make authentic decisions, that
Yes.
kind of thing.
Yeah.
Perfect. Well, we've got a couple more to answer next week. So make sure you're following along, subscribed, rate us, and make sure you follow us on all social media at Sapphic Survival Guide, except for X, which is just at Sapphic Survival. And for bonus content, you can find us patreon.com/Sapphic Survival Guide. And you can find me anywhere online at The Libra Gina, including my website, thelibragina.com. And you can also listen to my other podcast, Hello, wherever you listen to podcasts for your Jersey Shore recaps.
And you can find me, Cheyenne, at Hot Mess Queen on pretty much any social media platform. And with that, class is now dismissed.